This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Greetings again and welcome to our lesson today. We're glad you've tuned us in. And again, if you would like to contact me, I'll give you my mailing address and website address at the close of the program. You can contact me either way with prayer requests or comments on the program. If you can re-listen to this program on my website, and there's a lot of other information on my website that you might find helpful as well. Now, last time we looked at some thoughts I had with regard to Thanksgiving, but we are in the process of looking at Elijah and Elisha in the Old Testament. We've been looking at Old Testament worthies, and Elijah and Elisha, who prophesied during one of the darkest periods, that is, of Israel's experience, are very instructive for us today. Elijah, if you remember, was the first of the two prophets, and he was one who slew the prophets of Baal. He was one who had prayed that it wouldn't rain, and it didn't rain. He was one who got discouraged and ran from Jezebel, and by the time he was done running, he was so tired he wanted the Lord to take his life. So he reminds us that many people who are powerful men and women of God can get discouraged, just as Jonah got discouraged. Jonah's discouragement was because of rebellion, where Elijah's discouragement was just simply because he was tired. And likely, he had fled from Jezebel, and at that point, perhaps he had lost his true confidence in the Lord to preserve him. But nevertheless, whatever the case was, the Lord sustained him. And the Lord loved him, sustained him, and told him to go back and commission some others to carry on the work that he was doing. And one of those that he was to commission was Elisha, who was plowing with his oxen and actually used his livelihood or part of his livelihood as a sacrifice before he came and followed Elijah. And to me, it speaks of those of us who have been willing to give up our earthly ambitions and our earthly occupations in order to follow the Lord. Now, Elisha had been able to see Elijah when Elijah was caught up by a whirlwind into heaven, and he saw the chariots of fire, and the Lord was caught up into heaven. He must have understood what we read in Ephesians, that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against wicked spirits in the heavenly places. But he knew that not only were there wicked spirits in the heavenly places, there was an army of the Lord's that surrounded those who did trust in him. The angels of the Lord encompass those who trust in him, we read in the Psalms. And so he apparently had experienced this, knew the power of evil. He knew the Lord's power was greater. And so what I want to look at this morning is a passage with regard to Elisha that we read in 2 Kings chapter 6, starting at verse 11. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was greatly troubled by this thing. And he called his servants and said to them, "Will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel?" Because every time the king of Syria was going to do something, the king of the king of Israel seemed to know what was going to happen, and so he was thinking that he had a traitor in his midst. One of his servants said, "None, my lord, O king, but Elisha the prophet, who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom." Therefore, he sent horses and chariots and a great army there, and they came by night and surrounded the city. And when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see." Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. So when the Syrians came down to him, Elisha prayed to the Lord and said, "Strike this people, I pray, with blindness." And he struck them with blindness, according to the word of Elisha. And so the Lord had an army, an unseen army to the natural eye, ready to protect them as they were in this city, and I think it was the city of Dothan that they were in. And this just thrills me because we read in the New Testament that angels are ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation. And I'm not one of those who believes that we should worship angels because we should worship the Lord. I'm not one of those who believes that we should be all mystical in and look for things that perhaps Elisha saw that we don't see today. But at the same time, I take courage in the fact that the angel of the Lord does encamp around about those that fear him. And I have taken that verse in the Psalms and have prayed it to the Lord many times when I have been traveling. And I have been spared sometimes by inches from hitting deer. I have been spared from falling asleep at the wheel. The Lord has been with me, and there's times when I was in danger that I didn't know I was in. And I remember many a time thinking I've got to wake up and pay attention for deer and go down the road just a little way, and there would be the deer. And I remember when it's been a number of years ago when I was leaving a conference with a car full of people, my family and another young lady that had gone with us to that conference, and Geneva's cousin, my wife's cousin, was following us in another car. He had taken an interest in the young lady that was in our car, so we were traveling together down a dark road, and this gal that was with us, all of a sudden she screamed and said, "Look out!" I hadn't seen it, but there was a big cow about to coming out of the ditch. It was no longer penned in. Somehow it had gotten free of its pen, and it was coming out of the ditch, and we were going to hit it, and it was black as the ace of spades, and I could see there was no way I could miss that cow, and I hit the brakes, and my car began to swerve, and I saw the ditch on the left side, and I thought, we're going to go into that ditch. And then all of a sudden, my car swerved again, and I saw the ditch on the right side. And I thought, oh, okay, we're going to go into that ditch. And then my car straightened out, and we were in front of the cow. It was as though the angel of the Lord had picked us up and turned us one way and turned us the other way, right in front of that cow. The cow was on the road. I had gone around it. I had not hit it. The people in my car were safe, and the people behind us were safe because we had been there first. We stayed around until we could get a sheriff's deputy, as I recall, to help round up the cows so others wouldn't hit them. But it was only by the grace of God that we were spared that night. And you may consider it chance, but I consider it the intervention of God, that first, somebody saw the cow, and secondly, that my car, it wasn't my good driving, but my car was, in a sense, taken right around that cow so that we were not killed that night. Now, I look at those times and I see the Lord's intervention, and I realize angels are there to intervene for us, and it's sort of like Elisha and this young man. They are doing the will of the Lord and warning the king of Israel about the activities of the army of the king of Syria. And so the king of Israel had been able to protect himself on numerous occasions. And you can understand why the king of Assyria would assume that there was a traitor, because he didn't believe that God would reveal this to Elisha, who would then reveal this to the king. He had no understanding of how God worked or the mercies of the Lord. And so when they ended up in Dothan, and the king was going to come after Elisha big time, and the servant realizes that they're surrounded, in his mind, they're going to be overrun, they're going to be taken captive, they're going to be killed. And he says, "Oh, what shall we do? And how many times have I been hearing that since the election?" I don't care which side of the election you were on. It was, "What shall we do?" And for the Christian, what we do is we wait on the Lord and we trust in the Lord, because we have angels protecting us. We have the Holy Spirit within us. And if God be for us, who can be against us? But that's only the blessing of one who knows who the Lord is and has trusted him as their Savior, who has come to a place where they were lost and realized they were going their own way down a broad and crowded way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. And when they were at the end of themselves and lost, they then were able to understand that it isn't in them. Salvation was not of them. They couldn't look within to be saved. They had to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now set down at the right hand of the Father on high. And dear friend, for those of us that have entered into that special relationship with the Lord, when we're tempted to say, what shall we do? Oh, may the Lord open our eyes to understand that we have protection. The Lord has not forgotten us. I know there are people being martyred today, and I can hardly enter into it, but I'm convinced that when that occurs, the Lord stands there with that person and gives them grace and strength and peace about what they're going through. So this young man says, what are we going to do? And Elisha says, oh, Lord, open his eyes. And he sees the chariots of fire. We saw a chariot of fire when Elisha was taken up. Now we see chariots of fire surrounding the city. And we see the gracious protection of God with regard to his own. So we need to take courage in the fact that we have been sealed with the Holy Spirit and he guides us. We read in Ephesians 1 and verse 14, he's the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. How do we know we have the Holy Spirit within us? If we have truly trusted in Christ and not in something we have done to please Christ, but if we've truly trusted in the work of Christ, the Word of God will be precious to us, will warm our hearts and will guide us, and we'll have the peace that passes all understanding. So long as we don't break that relationship with conscious sin of rebellion, which the children of Israel did after they were saved out of Egypt, if we live in fellowship with God, we'll have a consciousness of a peace that others do not have because of the Holy Spirit who guides us. We're not to grieve the Holy Spirit. We are to let the Holy Spirit control us and guide us and teach us. And then when we come again to that verse in Romans, it says, if God be for us, Romans 8:31, if God be for us, who can be against us? And God is for us if we're saved. We've read the last chapter. We've got the end of the story. And we know that while there's going to be trials and while there's going to be tribulation, yet the Lord is going to be victorious and establish a righteous reign on this earth. And we who are part of his bride during this church age, I believe we're going to have an intimate, close place in that reign. I don't know just how it will work out, but we're going to be a part of the Father's house and the bliss that the Lord wants us to enjoy. But if you're unsaved, you know nothing about what I've talked about today. So please take time to consider the value of the Word of God and the message of salvation that it gives to us. Now, our Heavenly Father, bless our lesson and bless those who have listened. We thank thee for thy love. We give thanks in our Savior's name. Amen. Now, our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com, and we thank you for listening.